And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Mother Nature keeps taking center stage as the lead actor in this drama of life. It is spectacular theater, erupting volcanoes, the hurricane named Ivan, which as we speak is working its destructive magic along the Gulf states. Who's writing this script? Certainly not us, some say. But the writing is written on the walls of history. When we return, we take a closer look at the emerging vision of our future here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Across great stretches of the American land, fall is wielding its gentle hand. The nights are cooling, the leaves are changing, nests are being abandoned, eyes look upward for changes in the weather. Welcome again to the Wildside News. I'm your host, Sydney Wildsmith, broadcasting to you from the splendor of San Diego, California. But nature has many faces, many moods. Following its devil dance through the Caribbean, Ivan the Terrible is now landing from Louisiana to Florida. The third in a series of megadoses of pent-up weather systems, with another one on its way, lest anyone should ever forget, nature is the power that drives this planet. There are increasing numbers of people who are beginning to wonder if maybe we're screwing things up. It's the kind of thing we can't really know, but we sure can feel in the deep collective center of our common senses. And the prospect that this drama may continue is unsettling, as well it should be. For a long time, most people didn't really give it all much thought, the idea that we could really add so much crud to the earthly environment that it could actually change the weather or warm the oceans. But listen to the news this week. In Congress, a congressional committee heard testimony that the potential effects of global warming The panel heard from a couple of witnesses who suggested that the gradual rising of the Earth's temperature could contribute to more extreme weather, including flooding, drought, and changing storm patterns. However, 10 climatologists sent a letter to Senator McCain saying there was no link between severe weather and global warming. Ah, the logical stalemate. It's been going on for years. Meanwhile, in Britain, Tony Blair was taking heat for not showing the leadership necessary to convince the Bush administration to join the G8 in committing to a global alliance to reverse the seemingly inevitable consequences of climate change. Blair promised to make the issue a centerpiece of Britain's presidency of the G8 countries in 2005 and laid out a 3-point international strategy to tackle the phenomenon one he said could become irreversible in its destructive behavior, power. Irreversible and its destructive power. That's not me. That's Tony Blair. And so, I digress. Here's my best shot. Consistently here on the Wildside News, we present the voices of the Earth. They are here, available on the archives, which are steadily becoming the voice of the Earth. Now, I've listened to every single show, and what I hear is a consistent voice urging us to look up, look around. It reminds me of the problems people face when they learn that someone close to them has a drinking problem. It starts out with joking about the behaviors, the dents in the car, the insults to friends, the stupid hurting behaviors. It's followed by attempts to change the behavior gently, suggesting alternatives to going out to the bar after work or forgetting to make the side trip to the liquor store on the way home. But as the addiction worsens, and the person begins destroying the lives of those around them, their wives and husbands, children and friends, people continue to accommodate because it's so hard to tell someone, hey, you're really screwing up. It's at that time that people start taking the keys away because this reckless drunk could kill innocent people. And after a few tickets and accidents, the license to drive is yanked. And if the addiction continues, the life becomes a chaotic dance of denial, deceit, and destruction. We each have to decide where we are in this addiction of consumption and carelessness, and we each have to take our forms of action. Some proudly deny there's a problem at all, and some are saying, hey, we're really screwing up. Tony Blair, along with many others, lots of others, are making it clear. It is the emerging vision. And that's what we explore today on the Wild Side News, variations on the emerging vision. We begin the show with a report from Jen Schmidt, field director of the Campaign for America's Wilderness from Washington, D.C., the site of next week's Wilderness Week. In our second segment, we provide a magnificent clearing and celebration of the wonders of our living Earth as we talk to a truly amazing biologist, artist, and photographer, Tom Mangelson from Jackson Hole. And in our third segment, we untie the knots of unknowing and immerse ourselves into the spirit of hope and an emerging new vision of freedom from one of America's premier nature writers, Terry Tempest Williams. I'm happy to say that the Wild Side News stands proudly to present the voices of the Earth here each week. One of the problems we have is people who love the Earth. No, wait. That is not really it. When we say people who love the Earth, it carries with it a lot of baggage that I, for one, am tired of carrying. Let me try to put it this way. I came into this planet with a full spectrum of divinely gifted senses with which to learn what it meant to be human now on this Earth. And my senses told me that I had been provided with a paradise of wonder. The glorious community of trees and birds, with rivers and rain, crimson sunsets, snow so deep I could not walk. I lived through the seasons and watched and felt the power of life itself, and I lifted with it, and my spirit sang with joy at the wonder. The million eyes of life each day and the thousands of tiny beings, and the birds, frogs and squirrels and butterflies, all living in their moment. Most of the million eyes are long gone, but many remain. My father's eyes are closed. My mother's eyes still cry. Do I love the earth? What a goofy question. I worship the wonder. But wonder is a fragile gift, and the gift is being spilled. We are careless. We have lost our honor, the honor of appreciating the gift. So hundreds of people just like me are gathering in Washington, D.C. to participate in Wilderness Week. They are taking a stand for the American spirit, the spirit that is locked in the sacred vault of our wilderness, the gift to us from those who came before. And to tell us about Wilderness Week in Washington, D.C., I welcome Jen Schmidt to the Wild Side News. Jen, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Sydney.
You know, you're the field director of the Campaign for America's Wilderness. We certainly keep inviting people from that extraordinary group to join us because you folks are really leading the charge to bring awareness and appreciation about wilderness in the year, the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. And that actually leads us to talk about what you're going to be doing in the days ahead. Let's get started and talk about some of the interesting things that are happening. Why don't you talk about Wilderness Week?
Sure thing. Well, Sydney, you talked in the beginning of your show about sort of all of the exciting things happening in nature this fall, the spectacular wildlife migration, the birds flying to their southern wintering grounds. Well, this September, there's another kind of migration. 350 wilderness advocates from nearly every state in the nation will be converging upon Washington, D.C. next week, starting actually this Saturday, September 18th, until Wednesday, September 22nd, for Wilderness Advocacy Week. Now, the week is above all, it's a celebration of 40 years of the Wilderness Act and of preserving wilderness in this nation. And, of course, the best way, we believe, to celebrate wilderness is to fight to protect more of it. So Wilderness Week, first of all, is a way to bring the voice of grassroots activists from around the country who care so much about the wild places that they're working to protect to come and speak out on behalf of those wild places. In particular, there will be people meeting with members of Congress and members in the administration to talk about specific wilderness proposals that are broadly supported by their local constituencies and broadly supported nationally. We're talking about exciting, expansive desert lands in Nevada, wonderful old-growth forests called the Wild Sky Area in Washington State, archaeological and natural treasures in New Mexico, and groves of redwood forests and wild rivers in California. Legislation to protect these areas is sitting in the U.S. Congress right now, and only a few weeks are left in which to act to pass this legislation. So we're hoping that with Wilderness Advocacy Week and these 350 activists in town, we can make a real difference for these places, for places in other states, in Alaska and Utah, and just for all of our nation's wilderness.
You know, we have two guests coming up, Tom Mangelson. I'm sure you're familiar with his photography, which is extraordinary. And then, of course, Terry Tempest Williams, and she's going to be part of your sort of a kickoff event, which is going to happen this Sunday. And by the way, tell us about how the public can participate. Let's start with that.
Absolutely. Well, we wish everyone could come to Washington for Wilderness Week. That would be extraordinary.
Well, let's go. Let's all go. Let's just go.
Awesome. Well, for folks that are in the Washington, D.C. area or that can get to Wilderness Week, there are a couple public events that we are looking to build a crowd for. The first is on Monday, September 20th. We're having an event called America Speaks for Wilderness. It will be held at the historic Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. from 2 to 4 p.m. And this is for folks like you and I and all of the listeners who are tired of the environment taking a back seat to big development interests in Washington, D.C. And this is a chance for citizens in the true spirit of democracy to speak out on behalf of the wild places that they know and care about before a panel of wilderness heroes. So these citizen testimonies from people all across America will be recorded by video and will also be transcribed and entered into the congressional record as a way, you know, once again, to put the pressure on Congress that they need to take action to protect these wild areas.
You mentioned the wilderness heroes. I'm just curious, who do you hope to have, or who will be there, actually, at this? It's actually a citizen's hearing, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. It's a citizen's hearing, and our esteemed panelists will include author Terry Tempest Williams, nature writer Rick Bass, David Saylor, who's the son of Republican Senator John Saylor of Pennsylvania, one of the lead sponsors of the original Wilderness Act, Bill Meadows, the head of the Wilderness Society, and also Polly Dyer, one of the people who worked with Howard Sonheiser on the original Wilderness Act.
She's a legend, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they and other members of Congress will be presiding at this hearing.
And then citizens, what, can actually stand up and be heard?
Yep, this is your folks get their 2 minutes of fame. They can stand up, speak from the heart, be heard, and their testimonies will be recorded and delivered to the only people besides God who can create wilderness, and that's Congress.
Now, that's Monday between 2 and 4. That is East Coast time, okay?
That's East Coast time.
And if people wanted to learn about how to participate, for those who could actually be there, how can we help them?
They should go to www.wildernessforever.org. That has information about the citizens' hearing as well as our rally the following day.
Very good. Now, Sunday night also, you're going to have actually meet at the National Press Club. That's always such a prestigious place, and great and amazing history is made there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act Gala celebration. That sounds like fun. Sure wish I could be there. Can you get me there? Can you give me a ticket?
Oh, I'll have to look into that, Sydney, and get back to you.
Thanks. Well, send me an email.
Yeah, you got it. Yep, we're really looking forward to an extraordinary evening. We're, again, delighted to have Terry Tempest Williams as our MC to help us kick off the event. Robert Redford will be in attendance and will be making some guest remarks. We'll also be presenting awards to a number of wilderness heroes, including Senator Byrd of West Virginia and Representative Dingell of Michigan, who were two of the five members still in Congress who voted on the Wilderness Act of 1964.
Wow,
so we'll be presenting awards to them, and they'll be making some remarks. And finally, we'll be introducing our keynote speaker, Stuart Udall, former Secretary of the Interior during the Kennedy and Johnson administrations, who was intimately involved with the Wilderness Act.
Well, that's a great celebration with the legends who have provided us with this gift. We are so lucky as Americans to have this, because very many countries don't have anything like this. And the fascinating thing is the fact that if we do this right, we can keep this for a very long time.
That's right. I mean, the Wilderness Act is so special because it gave citizens the tools to stand up and actually do something to permanently protect those areas they care so much about. and to create that enduring legacy for future generations.
Now, on Tuesday, between 1 and 2:30 East Coast time, you're having the 40 Years of Wilderness Rally. This sounds like another fun event.
Another fun event. And again, anyone who can get over to Washington, D.C., we really hope they'll join us. This will be happening on Capitol Hill. We're honored to have Ed Zonheiser, the son of Wilderness Act writer Howard Zonheiser, speaking at this event. We'll also be joined by Roger Rivera, the president of the National Hispanic Environmental Council. Wilderness advocate Bart Kohler will be there. And we'll also have a number of other wilderness leaders who will be making a presentation of 200,000 postcards to the U.S. Congress by people all across America who care about protecting their wilderness.
Well, and then also Tuesday night is when you're going to get together with the decision makers.
Exactly.
And what's going to happen? Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Tuesday night is our 40 Years of Wilderness reception on Capitol Hill, and that's a chance to sort of rub elbows with the folks on Capitol Hill, those members of Congress who are considering these wilderness bills before them right now, and again, make that last sort of press to protect these special areas in Washington, Nevada, New Mexico, California, Alaska, Utah, and other places across the country. Now, Sydney, there is another way I really want to mention that folks that can't make it to Washington, D.C. can still get involved.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Okay. On Tuesday, we're having a national call-in day for wilderness, and we're just asking folks across the country to call their member of Congress at the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121, and ask them to protect wilderness.
That is great. Jen Schmidt, the Campaign for America's Wilderness, thanks so much for joining your voice to the Wild Side News. We're going to keep on talking. We're going to hear an update next week. That sounds good to me.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
When we return, we're going to be meeting with America's premier nature photographer, Tom Mangelson, here on the Wild Side News.